The key for all of us is to get free from condemnation. If you live in condemnation at all, if the devil can make you have a bad day, make you feel bad about yourself, talk to you about how messed up you are, whatever, you still live in condemnation. If someone cannot preach the word of God to you where God says put this off and God says get rid of this without it being an offense to you because you feel condemned, then you still have a big issue with this, okay? And if there's condemnation in your life, there is still a spirit of the enemy inside of you who's taking the place of God. And that's yucky. We don't want him to take the place of God. We want him under our feet, not talking in our heads. Amen. Put him under the feet. Turn with me to 1 John 4. And we've preached this before, but God just woke me up with this the other night in or morning or sometime. I don't know what God does, you know, when I'm sleeping. But I think he talks with me and shows me things. I mean, sometimes I remember it, but a lot of times I'll wake up. But a lot of times I wake up and I just have an answer to something I asked him. Let me tell you something extremely cool that God did. I just love him. Most of you didn't know this, but I'll just go ahead and say it because we went out of town. So Edie and I flew because we found these two airline tickets that were really cheap, and it was 20 hours driving or, you know, 3 or 4 hours flying. We chose the 3 or 4 hours because the tickets were cheap. And I like driving personally. I don't mind because we have a good time in the car. You can have a Holy Ghost good time for 10 hours if you put the right people in your car. So, and have God there. So anyway, I just had this knowing that for some reason we were going to miss the plane coming back. I just had this knowing. I packed enough for it. I already asked Mark if he would do Sunday morning service. I just had this kind of feeling that I didn't want to admit it and I wouldn't confess it, but I just kind of felt like for some reason I wasn't going to be able to get back by Sunday. So Edie and I get to the layover. Don't you hate that when it's only an hour and a half flight, but they take you somewhere else? You know, and make it a 4-hour flight. So we got there and we thought we only had like 10 minutes to get to the next plane. So I did kind of pray, God, would you please delay the plane a little bit? Well, I didn't mean like all night, but we got there and they had made a half hour delay. Then they made an hour delay. Then they made another half hour delay. And finally they said, no plane tonight. And there was just a handful of people there. And God just works things. Let me tell you how detailed God is. Edie had just gone to brush her teeth. And so when they make that announcement, if you've ever been on that side of it, you run as quick as you can to the ticket desk to get whatever's left to get out. But no, Edie, who's usually first on everything, she didn't hear the announcement. And I couldn't go because I had the luggage. And everybody left but us. I'm thinking, we are last. I said, we're spending the night, aren't we, Lord? You know. So then Edie came out, so we ran up there. And it worked out anyway. It's a whole story, but my sons didn't want to get me because we could fly to Richmond and nani nani, la la la, and all this. And so finally, out of nowhere, these two tickets come up for a good, like 10 o'clock or something, 11 o'clock the next morning, and they'd give us a free hotel. So I said, well, that's good, and it comes right here to Newport News, so we wouldn't have to put anybody out. So we said yes to it. But I'm thinking, God, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Well, for one thing, we witnessed sitting there with the people on the shuttle. We really talked about the Lord, and it was a God kind of thing. It was really cool. And I knew this one lady probably wasn't a Christian because she was the only one who got her luggage so she could have the wine in her luggage in her room. And I was talking to this other lady about some things she does and what God did at Reinhard Bonnke. It was really cool because I said at Reinhard Bonnke, I said, you know, 1.4 million Africans were saved at one crusade last month. 1.4 million. You should see the pictures. We'll show them here one day. I mean, if you have a problem with people who have black skin, you better get over it before you get in heaven because there's going to be a lot of black skin people in heaven. When I see 1.4 million getting saved in 1 minute, you know, one meeting, I'm telling you, God is moving in Africa. So let me also say, the blood of the slaves that has cried out for a people group to find God, it is being done. So get your eyes higher, even in the area of slavery, because what Satan means for evil, God brings to good. And a lot of seed fell to the ground of a people who found God as slaves, cried out for their nation, and now by the millions in a day, they're being saved. See, you can't, devil can never, he can never outdo God. The more evil he throws out there, the higher God brings in good. Because God's that big. So anyway, that was cool. So I thought, well, we witnessed to that lady. And it was kind of neat because we got in the whole, so I was talking, and this black woman I was talking to, and it was this other woman, this white woman who was kind of sophisticated woman, you know, who had her bottle of wine. But she didn't look like a winer. She looked like, you know, a business executive type. And so I was talking to this black couple, and you could tell they were Christians, you know. And so we were talking. She said, a million Africans got saved. Praise God. And she goes, man, Reinhard Bonnke sounds like Billy Graham. I said, oh, man, he's Billy Graham plus. He's Billy Graham plus the power to raise the dead, plus the power to bring healing, plus the power. I said, that's why we went there to get prayed for. And so the wine lady, she's saying, she's just kind of listening to all this. So she sits down in the van, and she says to the driver, and we were in Charlotte, she says, by the way, what is the name of the street the hotel's on? And the driver says, Billy Graham Boulevard. And she said, this is getting deep. This is getting deep. And Edie and I were like, oh, it gets a lot deeper than this. So we went back to our room. And we turned on, and in Charlotte, it's the Bible Belt, so there's at least three stations on with something about Jesus, and we're really praying that she turned on to those, so we really pray for her. So I thought that was cool. I said, okay, Lord, this is why you had me knowing I was going to be spending the night. But there was something else God showed me that was so awesome, and I didn't share this with many of you because I'd like to have the answers before I share some things. And but do you know the plane that went down recently, and everyone in it died? Two people escaped the... Well, God had shown me that plane about 3 weeks before that happened. I had a vision. I've rarely had a vision about something bad happening before. And I saw the plane go down, and I saw ice on its wings. I knew when I saw that newscast. First, I thought, Lord, it's the same day I got the tickets for an airplane. So I was like, Lord, are you telling me not to take the airplane? You know, and I was praying about it. But the Lord told me to have Edie... or to have two other people, so Edie and Karen and I got together, to take communion and plead the blood over the plane. So we did. And I didn't pray more about it. I told Karen White about it after the fact. And some other things happened where that plane really could have hurt a lot more people, and it was very close to the church they used to attend to, and some things happened that week between us and their church. And so I don't know all... God was trying to warn me not to touch their church, their ex-church where they used to go, or curse it or anything. And so I wasn't sure, but I started asking the Lord about a week ago when that plane went down. I said, God, did I miss you? Did I miss you on this? Did I have more authority than this? What happened, God? I don't want to miss you. I don't want to take the things that you put on my heart lightly. And Lord, it was a vision. It was like a vision. Like I saw it. It was a split second, and I didn't see if it crashed or not. I just saw the plane with ice on it going down. That's all I saw. And I said, God, I never felt led by you to bring it up as a prayer request. And I never knew. But it was still on my heart. It was like when I heard that the plane went down, I knew instantly it was the plane. And I said, they're going to find out it was ice on the wings. And then when I saw the picture, I knew that that was it. And I was asking God, would you show me if I missed you? Would you show me what's going on? Listen what God did. He's so awesome. There was a lady who was standing in front of me the next day for the plane we were taking because the other plane got canceled. And we hadn't talked to this lady at all, not one time, but we were standing in line, you know, as you're actually, you pass the place, you give your ticket, and you're standing in line as you're getting actually in your seats. And this lady turned to me right as she was going on, real talkative lady. And she said, you know, and most people don't bring up an airplane crash right when you're getting on an airplane, you know. It's not like the thing to do. But she turned to me, she goes, you know, I'm going to Buffalo where that plane went down last week. And she said, you know, I went to a memorial service for some of the people on that. And she said, the one thing that stood out to me the most, and I don't know if she personally talked to this person or if he spoke, I'm not positive which it was. She said, but there was this man, and he had his two children. And he was crying and crying and crying. And then he told the story. I don't know if he told it, like I said, to everybody or her, but what happened with this man, he was at where you give your boarding pass with his two children walking on the plane. And out of nowhere, the person who collects the pass said, sir, please don't take this flight. it's going to be a rough flight, and I don't think you should take children on it. And she said the man thought, because you know what you'd be thinking. You know, an hour, I'm home, who cares? You know, we're just going to go for it. But he said something about the way she said it made him stop and decide not to go on that flight. And he sat there crying, and he said, me and my two children would have been dead had we gone on the flight. And the Holy Spirit said to me, those are the three that you took communion for. And he answered me. I'm not making it up. I know now that's what he showed me. So I just want us to be encouraged to be people of prayer, and let's take that more seriously around here. Let's seek the Lord more. I know it's so hard to fit it in time-wise, but we're just going to have to, on Friday nights or before meetings or whatever, begin to pray these things. Because God wants to give us these things so that we can pray and see his will come to pass. Now, of course, I'd love to stop the whole plane from crashing, but God's still the one in charge. But that he would be merciful to those three. We want to be so open to be able to pray for people as the Lord shows us. So anyway, that's the reason the plane got held up. That's God did all that to get me where I could hear the answer for what I was praying and asking him. Isn't he awesome? He is an awesome, awesome God.